Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the entertainment world. Today, we're going to be talking to West Coast-based band Belly Love. On the line, we have Lisa Black and Tony, who has an unpronounceable last name. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess a good starting point would be the beginning. Tell us a little bit about Belly Love. I think it's a trio, but other than that, I don't know much.
Well, we are a power trio out of L.A. Tony, play bass and sing, and Lisa plays guitar, and we have a drummer named Adam Steinberg, who's just awesome. And we didn't start out that way. We started as an acoustic duo about 14 years ago, and we recorded our first little CD, which was kind of a folk trip-hop and just not anything like what we do now, ironically. And I had been writing songs, and Lisa had been working with another girl singer, and it kind of just wasn't going anywhere, so we started writing songs together, and our song from our CD, Belly Love, which is what we called it, Belly Love, Belly Love, we handed it out to a bunch of friends, and one of those friends was Marty Noxon, who was a writer on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and she handed it over to Joss Whedon, who thought that the first track, Back to Freedom, would be great for, actually, I don't think it's the first track, would be great for a scene on the season premiere, third season premiere, Anne, where Buffy's run away from home, and she's looking to get back to freedom for her insides, you know, or anyway, she's going through some kind of personal struggle, and the song fit really well for that.
I believe Buffy ran away from home because she discovered her boyfriend was a vampire, and there's none worse news than to discover that indeed your boyfriend is a vampire, so she ran away from home.
Yes, especially when you're a vampire slayer.
That's right.
I can understand this. You know, if I woke up tomorrow and discovered that my wife was a vampire, yeah, I'd be kind of upset.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Indeed.
So
it was actually a beautiful scene on the show there.
Yeah.
And the song was the first song ever to be played in its entirety on that show, and they actually had us on set, so we performed it live. It was quite an honor and a thrill for two gals who'd never played together in front of anyone ever.
Yeah, I hadn't even played a show live ever. That was my first gig.
Okay. Let's talk about your new CD. The title is, and I'll probably mangle it, Circles and Darkness. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Well done, Simon.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. And tell us a little bit about it. What is behind it? What can the listener expect?
From the musical perspective, which I write the music, this is Lisa the guitarist, and it is a brave adventure into B minor in rock and roll. So it has a lot of, we've performed it live in the studio, and our drummer Adam, we all love Rush. We're big fans of the band Rush, and we love reggae music. So we kind of blended, it's like a progressive reggae rock song, and it's exciting to listen to, and it was pretty much 100% live with a few guitar overdubs, in the studio. That's the musical perspective of the song. It starts off with a really nice clip, and it ends up really fast and exciting. And Tony has a great story about the lyrics.
Yes, I am a huge Harry Potter fan, and so the lyrics kind of tie into, I think it's the fourth book, where Hermione has this time turner, and it's just kind of a, like a really short synopsis of, you know, the struggle that he's going through with thinking that Voldemort can see inside his head, and he feels like he's, you know, he's losing his mind, and you know, maybe he's bad and evil. And so I just kind of wrote this song about, you know, that. And the Turn Back the Hands of Time is definitely a reference to the time turner that Hermione has when she's going from place to place. And they're like, how can you be in two places at once? And anyway.
Okay.
So that's what the song's about.
I thought the whole deal with Harry Potter was you couldn't use the term Voldemort.
Yes, yes, but Harry Potter uses it himself. He who must not be named.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Would you have any large objections if we listen to this track?
Oh, please. Enjoy.
Yes. Please.
Okay. This is the title track. Circles in Darkness. It is a pretty interesting track.
Thanks, Simon.
Who wrote it?
We did.
Yeah, we actually kind of all wrote it, you know. I mean, we sat in the studio and wrote it together. But she came up with that guitar riff in the beginning. And then I put a bass line to it. And I kind of struggled with the lyrics because I wasn't sure what I wanted to write about that day. Because, you know, usually I tend to write introspective songs about my feelings. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to write, like, about something I've been reading or something I like. You know, I mean, a lot of, like, my favorite bands, Led Zeppelin, wrote songs about the Tolkien novels, you know. So they write, ramble on about, you know, why is my brain doing this?
No, you've opened the door to a great question. I mean, who are the musical influences?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a big question. I'm going to let Lisa go first because I could take up all day with that question.
There is a Los Angeles-based band called X was playing the Sunset Strip in the mid-80s, and they are considered to be a punk band, but they're actually very much like Johnny and Roseanne Cash, and some kind of like cowpunk, but they're just a fierce, fierce original rock band from Los Angeles. They still play out. That is by far my most biggest influence as a guitarist, and I love Stevie Ray Vaughan, and I love, of course, Led Zeppelin. But when I heard Frank Zappa recently, I really just was mesmerized. And so we went out of our way to learn a song from 200 Motels, a Frank Zappa film. It's called Magic Fingers, and that as well is on our CD, Circles in Darkness. We recorded two Frank Zappa songs, Apostrophe and Magic Fingers.
Kind of parts of both of them, because the Magic Fingers doesn't have the very end where he's reciting a poem. And then the Apostrophe, we kind of just took it from the beginning and part of the bass solo, and then we kind of worked our way out of that because we combined that with another song, the Cheech and Chong song. We combined it with Cheech and Chong. We like making medleys up. It's fun. I mean, I don't know.
They are medleys. They are not mashups.
They are not mashups. They are medleys.
I mean, both of those are great. I happen to be working with someone that in turn is working with Dweezil Zappa.
Yes, and we've gone to see Zappa Does Zappa twice.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah. We know that it's not like a lot of girls are going to see Zappa Does Zappa, but the musicianship, when you were sitting there and you're watching those 15 people, because that seems like they've got 15 people on stage. It might be 7, it might be 10. Just make music together. It's like magic. And, you know, in the middle of the show, he does an homage to his father where he has his dad playing behind. It's really cool. So.
We're geek. Big time geek. Yeah.
I was just amazed that you would mention the name Zappa. I sat back and went, oh no.
Oh no, indeed. Well, what we do is we kind of make it fun. We also, at the beginning of Magic Fingers, we do a pay homage to A Taste of Honey, a disco band from the 70s, and we play the beginning of Boogie Oogie Oogie, and then we go into War Pigs, and then we finish it out with Magic Fingers.
Yeah.
That's the second cut off our CD. So we're paying homage to our influences.
Yeah. When I was a little girl, I didn't even know that the bass player was the singer. And then when I got older and I saw Janice Marie Johnson playing bass and singing at the same time, I was like, oh, that is like magic, because so much of today's music is digitized and you don't get to see people playing instruments anymore. It's about, can you wear a, you know, not to put down Lady Gaga, but can you, you know, can you be fashionable and dance and lip sync to your songs while you're playing live? And I don't know. I love to watch people play stringed instruments and guitars and drums and, it's just what I like.
There's something magic about the motion. you know, whether it be a stringed instrument or a keyboard.
Yes.
Yeah, there are musicians that get right into it, and there are other musicians that, yeah, the music is great, but they have no stage presence.
Yeah, but I don't think that they have to be. I think that you can have a little bit of both, and it's a good thing, you know.
Well, one of my greatest influences, and I've drugged Tony to several concerts by now, is David Lindley.
I love David Lindley. He's
David
awesome.
Lindley played pedal steel with Jackson Browne in the 70s and 80s on tour, and he has evolved into this amazingly diverse guitarist, and he plays ouds. He goes to Turkey, and he'll bring back an oud, and he'll speak about how he plays scales he learned in Turkey that are forbidden and illegal to play in those countries. And
yeah.
He'll come back here and share that music with us, and he will play with a tabla player or something of that sort. But, you know, those people will sit, and they're almost dancing by virtue of sitting there, by playing their instruments copiously, and it's kind of fascinating to watch that.
Oh, okay, let's do something shamelessly commercial.
Okay.
Is there a website for you guys?
Yeah, it's www.bellylove.com. All one word, belly love, like rub your tummy.
Oh, okay.
And that's it, just bellylove.com. And on that site, we have links to get our music on iTunes. We have an Indiegogo campaign going. I've not checked it. I have no idea what it's doing. And we have T-shirts available. And so we have all that stuff up there. We have videos on YouTube you can Google. And, you know, the one that's been viewed the most is the one Michael DeBar. Shout out to him. He's been a great friend to us, and
we did a song called "I'm Too Old for American Idol." And Michael was gracious, and he did a voiceover on our song.
Oh, okay, let's come back to Michael in a moment. Michael, for those of you that are not familiar, is Murdoch. So you've got the CD out there. How is what sort of response are you getting? Yeah, are people liking it?
Yes.
Yeah, people, and when we play live shows, people really like that song that you played. They're like, "That's a great song," and so that's the positive feedback is really great for us. And
and another song we wrote called "Stride Song"
usually gets good response live also, because it's a high-energy song, so we're, like, rocking out when we play it. And
We're a high-energy rock band trio. And we played last week or a week ago, whatever, at the Santa Monica Pier, which is an interesting place to play. It's outdoors, and it's on a pier in Santa Monica, and it was packed with people for end of summer, and it just went over extremely well. And that was the kind of our CD release party, in a way, because we were selling CDs. And I'm always honored when somebody walked over to me and wanted to buy a CD, you know. We're a self-made band. We have everything we do on our own.
Yeah.
And we've always done it that way, even when we were on the TV show and we were fielding emails, and Napster had just started when that was 1999. So
98.
And no one had heard of, quote, downloading music. And so we watched that whole technological transition happen in front of our eyes. As artists, it was a learning curve, and it was a bit painful. How do you do this? I don't know. But now we know. So we sell our product on CD Baby and on iTunes, and so far so good. And get better from here.
Oh, okay, let's talk about Murdoch.
Darling.
Murdoch, for people that are not familiar, was a delightfully evil character on the TV show MacGyver. It was Michael DeBarre that played the part. Although, you know, Michael isn't particularly proud of his acting skills, he much prefers to talk about his music skills. Just how on earth did you get to know Murdoch?
Well, we have a mutual, we actually have a few mutual friends, and I think he needed some kind of, like, Lisa, what do you do? Graphic design work.
Yes, I do. I design the CD, and I do all the websites, and I do video editing, and I do all that stuff. And a very dear friend of mine, the very talented Paul Ill, who plays bass with Michael DeBarre, I have known him for years, and he called to see if I could help design a T-shirt for Michael, and I did, and I'm so excited to say that I designed a T-shirt for Michael's tour that's happening now. And
yeah, but years ago it was his CD.
It was Free Love, yes.
And he wanted something to do. He wanted a Facebook or a MySpace. That's how long ago it was. It was a MySpace.
Well, to be painfully honest, I didn't know who Michael DeBarre was. So this man came to my house in this fabulous vehicle and just charmed. It was such an amazing. He is an inspirational human being. There's no two ways about it. Michael DeBarre is a neat guy, and we became friends. And Tony and he became very close friends, and we've actually worked with him.
I'm more of like his girl Friday. I'm more of like his girl like once every 2 months on Friday.
Oh,
he doesn't
boy.
Need a Girl Friday every week, so sometimes he needs Girl Friday stuff. And
Belly love Girl Friday.
Yeah.
Well,
Girl Friday is not a call girl, by the way, I'd like to say.
Well, let me tell you, that says a lot about Michael, because Tony's no one's Girl Friday.
No, I'm feisty.
Yeah, no. We love him.
I actually, you know, had completely forgotten about Michael. Until I got an email saying, you want to interview this guy? You might remember him as Murdoch in MacGyver.
What?
That's classic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. He's a good addition.
And he is a fun gentleman.
He's awesome.
The man has a great sense of humor. I think a lot of, you know, if you take him very seriously, you're going to be in trouble. He's got a dry English humor, and he's a perfectionist at it. I mean, and he's quick.
And he's self-made, and he's got a really positive attitude. I really admire that in a person, because I tend to be a little Debbie Downer.
Well, I don't know. You might have missed this, but my accent is not exactly from around here.
Yeah, I hear you're in Mississippi.
Right. He made a wrong turn.
No, that's not true. Be nice.
Simon, where are you from? Are you from Manchester?
No, Newcastle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but I grew up around Oxford. But this is about you, not me.
Well, I'd like to go, so if anybody wants to see Belly Love and wants to fly us out there, I want to go to the U.K.
We've never been there.
I've never been.
It's hard to talk about it when you've never been there, because then you look stupid. But
yeah.
We were in Manhattan
yesterday. Yeah, 2 days ago we were there.
We're POTUS. They moved our car, so...
Oh,
Barack
yeah.
Obama could
awesome.
Go down the street and...
I walk out, the car's gone. They're like, oh, we moved your car. I was like, oh, my God, you moved the car.
Like, yeah.
Anyway, so that was fun.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Oh, I'm trying to get back on track here.
Music.
Bands tend to come in two flavors. One likes to sit in the studio where the music can be fiddled with. Yeah, you can do wonderful things with computers. But the other type of band likes the wide open spaces, that scary spaces of live performances. Where does Belly Love sit on this scale?
Well, personally, Tony, I prefer playing live. I prefer it. Even if I make a mistake or I'm singing off key and I hit a bad note with my bass, it's like that thrill, just kind of, oh man, I hit that note, I can't believe I did that. But it's like that rush of playing live is way more interesting to me than sitting in front of Pro Tools with, you know, someone who can manipulate that software. And although I love recording live, I like the end product, but I really do prefer playing. I'd rather play a live show.
I love to play live. I love to play live in the studio.
Yes.
I hate doing any more than 5 takes of anything in the studio. If it has to be done, it has to be done. But this CD was more than 5 takes because we were in the studio playing live and it wasn't working. I started to get very nervous and I thought, oh boy, what a waste of time and money, when all of a sudden, boy, the 20th time we played that song and there it was. Each song just knocked them out. And that was all done live in the studio. And I kind of go back to the analog days when we recorded on 2-inch tape. Oh, I shouldn't say that, but it's true. And I say that because it was fun, it was exciting, and it sounded amazing. So I try to stay away from all the editing as much as I can, even though Matt Lynch, our producer, who's in a band called Snail, is so good at what he does, but he too appreciates that value of less is more. So
yeah, I mean, we don't have any synthesizers or digital, we don't have really much. I mean, there's effects on the voices, but that was just like in post-production fun. But we do tend to kind of just play as a unit. It works better for us.
Oh, okay. Would you mind terribly if I played another track? Shmoboy.
Please do.
Okay, here it is. And there are questions. I have to ask the question because, well, I just have to ask it. What does the title mean? What are you trying to say?
Well, a schmo boy is like a schmuck. If someone's being a schmuck. So I had this boss.
But be careful, he's a lawyer.
Yes, he is a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer.
My old boss. And he made me cry on Christmas Eve or something. It was just awful. You know, and I'm sure he wasn't meaning to be a schmuck, but he was being a schmuck. So I wrote a song about him.
Ebenezer.
So if you make me mad, I might write a bad song about you. I have to do something with all that angst.
We're running a little low on time here, but there are a couple more questions. I know, or I've been told, rather, that the band tends to play a combination of covers and original music. Are you transitioning more to the original music zone?
We started out as an all-original band. We didn't even really play any covers. And then we started getting these gigs at these bars where they want you to play for 4 hours.
Caved. But we figured if we're going to play covers, we're going to pick them ourselves.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, it is true. We're not really catering to the top 10. We dug deep back into Cheech and Chong, Frank Zappa stuff. Yikes. But
well,
people love it.
Of course, on the subject of covers, who can avoid that great movie, The Blues Brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Funny, I just heard one of those songs today in the car. Yeah.
I'm guessing, or I'm hoping, that you don't usually play behind a wire fence.
No, not usually.
I have to before, though. There was a club in Texas. Yeah. I don't remember the name.
Oh, she's being a smarty pants.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not?
No, I'm not. No. I've done a little bit more playing.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. You played in some other bands.
Yeah. No. And in the Pandoras, we would have beer bottles thrown at our heads. And they said it was a compliment. So you go with it.
Oh, musicians love that.
It's true.
You know, they wake up 3 days later. After the concussion has subsided. Oh, no, it was just a fan.
Right?
Wow. Okay, on a much more serious note, who does the writing? Is there, you know, one dominant person in the band, or is it a collaborative effort?
It's usually collaborative, but if one of us has a song that we've written, like I've written a few in their entirety and Lisa's written a few in their entirety, we'll bring it in and we'll work it up. We don't have any hard and fast rules about it. Whoever has a muse at the moment, you know, because sometimes they can be hard to find, darn muses.
But of the three of us, it's been mostly Tony and I.
Yeah.
That's trios are so easy. I highly recommend them to anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I do miss Clint.
We miss him.
We miss Clint. He used to be our bass player.
He had to go home.
He moved to West Virginia.
Oh, Lord. What became a coal miner?
Right? Yes.
He became a coal miner's daughter.
You know, Al, the music business is tough when you go back to West Virginia.
Yeah.
Sanctuary. Yeah. Bless his heart. We love him to death. Yeah, coal mining everywhere. He tells us about it. So.
But he does work in a car parts store, so.
Yeah.
Just as the coal miner's
it's
daughter.
It's a luxurious life. Yeah.
Okay. I have my producer whining in my ear. You know, okay, you, enough.
Okay.
You got to shut this
well
down. So I want to thank both of you for taking time to talk to me, and I certainly wish you every success with your new CD. What is your plan on getting Belly Love out in the mainstream?
Well, we're starting with Simon, and we're going to end up with Brazil and France and New York and
the UK.
We started at Cantor's Deli, and we're playing Brazil soon. Tony is Brazilian, and
I'm only part. I'm totally Heinz 57.
She got all the good. Yeah, Heinz 57. She's got those beautiful Brazilian features, and I know that once we go there, it will break us out. Like, we'll be hugely famous, and that's the plan.
Simon, I thought your show was going to be it.
Oh, well.
I'm teasing. Well, we hired a publicist, and we're just trying to get it out there. It's brutal, man.
Simon, thank you so much for
and we'll play anywhere, so call us. Find us on the web. Send us an email.
Yeah. We love rock.
We love to rock, man.
Yeah.
And Lisa and Tony, I really want to thank the pair of you for putting up with me. It's been a really fun program.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
likewise.
And when you're rich and famous, don't forget about me.
We won't forget about Simon Barrett.
Yes, we love you, Simon. We love
any
you.
Relation to Sid?
No. And I really wish I was. I mean, Sid, he was a character. Yeah, he left Pink Floyd. I remember reading an article about him going solo and going wacko and everyone walking out of the arena. But that's just Sid.
That's why we love Sid.
Okay, ladies, until next time, I have to say goodbye.
Thanks, Simon.
Bye, Simon. Thank you.
Okay,
ciao.
Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.